We're holding today at Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. And Ches Ba'Adar. The last thing that we learned yesterday was that Shmuel met Talmidei de Rav, and the Talmidei de Rav told him that Rav's opinion about Misukenes was that it was enough if the animal was Goed, that it makes noise at the time of the Shemitah, or if it defecates at the time of the Shemitah, or if it wiggles in here. Shmuel said he doesn't see why that's necessary. And we're up to the second line now. Amar lahu, Yitzchak alei la'aba la'zuzi uni. You mean to tell me that Abba, who was Rav, we mentioned yesterday, Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, as to whether Abba is Rav's name and Rav is the Lashon of Chashivas, which is the way Tosfos learns, or whether, according to Tosfos, Shmuel used to call Shmuel used to call Rav Abba because Abba is a lashon of covet. What Tosfos Tanya is that we find that that Rabbi Yochanan was upset at Yisi because he called, when he asked him who's in charge, was the Reish Sidrei Bavel, he called him Strider, Abba Arichon, long leg and Abba. He thought that that was a covetic name. This is how we call our kings. So Tosfos Tanya is that maybe that wasn't because of the Abba part. Maybe it was because of the Aricha part. So. In any event, so getting back now to Shmuel. So Shmuel Tanya, I don't see why you have to go so far as to say he has to wiggle an ear. I mean, that's heavy duty stuff. You're wiggling. You wiggle an ear? Can you wiggle an ear? Not so partial. I taina shani omer kol anything which kosha osed varim she'ein hamita ota, anything that the animal does which is not part of what death would do, in other words in death that it would act, but it's actually part of life. Ma'ninu dvarim she'hamita ota, when you say things that would happen, it's just part of a death spasm. Omrivana ladidim efarshin minei marshmul. Actually, Marshmul explained to me, for instance, if its hand was contracted and it's released, then that's a dover sham mitaosa. That's something that would happen in death. But if the hand was extended and the animal was kafafa, now clearly this is talking about a small animal, because the Mishnah made this distinction, daka by mehmedaka. But if the hand was pshuta and he brought it back, he contracted the muscle, then it's dvarim she'ein hamitausa. Now the Gemara is wondering about, I mean, what kind of chiddush is that? That's exactly what it says in the Mishnah. Maika mashma, Tanina, does it not say in the Mishnah, behima dake shepashta yada v'lo yevzera psula, she'ina elo hotzaat nech? It says in the Mishnah that took its hand and extended it. That doesn't prove anything if it didn't bring the hand back, because it's just tzat nefesh. Hohir zira, mashma'ut would be if it brought its hand back, it contracted the muscle, then it would be kosher. So that's all that Shmuel is saying. It's just repeating the Mishnah. No, not true. Because the dig from the Mishnah would have been like this. Imamat nitin havamina the kaifa upashta. Well, the kaifa, in other words, the point in the Mishnah would be davka, where the hand was kafuf. Now it sticks out its hand and pulls it back. But because that's the most you could say. If the hand was pulled back and they let it go, then it's not. Okay, so in other words, I'd have to actually start from the position of it's pulled back, extend and pull back again. Therefore, comes on Shmuel to say, no. The Mishnah does not insist on that much. It would be enough even if it would have been simply pshuta before and the animal is kofef. So see that inside. Okay, probably the correct gears is, as the Shita brings, davka kagon shaita kufa upashta v'hada kaifala avo pshuta, if it began with an extended hand, ukafa fata, and it brought the hand back down low. Kamashma comes like Shmuel to tell me that even that would be sufficient. Now, it turns out that according to Rav,
is that a short period of time right after, or is that from night to morning to mountain to
the if it's still alive the next morning, it'd be even better. So Mesvet, you just got finished saying, according to Rav, that if it makes noise during the Shechita, or if it defecates, that that's considered to be a valid pirchus. And yet, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Haya Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Yossi quotes Rabbi Meir as saying that Go'eh b'sha'at Shechita in ze pirchus. And Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi also quotes Rabbi Meir, Omer Mishmo, Afilu hitila rei, even if it defecated, v'kishkisha biznava, and wiggled its tail, in ze pirchus. Okay, the tail maybe is less.
What's play?
Go'eh is to make that loud mooing of the... Yeah, well, we'll see if it's moaning. So in any event, the ozen and the tail is not a contradiction. I mean, you say that it's a different set of muscles, it requires a different level of fears. But certainly, go'eh ha-go'eh is kasha, and it's also kasha re'i'ari, it's also a problem. You said defecation, according to Rav, was sufficient. Here it says it's not. Answers, the Gemara, go'eh ha-go'eh is not a problem. Hada avi kala, hada ami kala. If it's just a moon, ami, it's omemot. Omemot is a lashon of like coals that are slumbering, that are smoldering. So then it's just moaning. A moan is, it could be just an exhalation as it loses its life. But if it's actually putting out a sound, and it's powerful, avi kala, that's where Rab said that it is a proper pirchus. Same thing is true as to defecation. Gamilo kasha. Kan b'shotetet, if it's just that it relaxed the muscles of the rectum. Okay, so then whatever is inside the intestine will drip out. But kan b'matrezet, where Rav was saying that it was defecation is a proper pirchus, is talking about when the muscles of the intestine contracted and actually shot out some of the contents. Omru chista, pirchus sha'omru b'sof shkita. Now, Rav Chista in this Mahamar is quoting something that he was taught. I was taught that basically the meaning of the word pirchus in the Mishnah is not sometime during the Shechita, but at the end of Shechita. But I want you to understand logically what that means. I mean, it couldn't mean what it's saying. My besov Shechita be'emtza Shechita. It's got to really mean that during the course of Shechita, in other words, as I'm cutting the simonim, but not at the beginning, but certainly not that I've already cut the simonim, I'm continuing now to cut through the neck. I mean, that's ridiculous to say that then at that point it should also have to be alive. And I'll tell you how I know that. But all it means when it says sof shkita is not the tefillah shkita. Just prove it logically. I mean, the Mishnah says it's not. If you've got a small animal that extends its hand and doesn't bring its hand back, it's possible. Now, I'm asking you at what point the Mishnah means this. I mean, ilema besov shkita. You're talking about that it's already after I completed the shkita. So what's your problem? That now this is just an aspect of its death, so it doesn't have to be alive now. It only had to be alive at the middle of the Shechita. I mean, how long do you want it to stay alive? So call echatizo v'tichi v'tizo. I mean, I understand. It's got to stay alive for the next 5 days. I mean, I shafted it. I see now, a minute after I shafted, that it's now releasing its legs or giving up the ghost, so to speak. So why isn't that enough? Obviously, it's got to mean that that wouldn't be enough if it does that at Emsa Shechita. Because then I'm afraid that at the time that I cut Rav Simonim, already it was dead, and now it's just exhaling. That's what I think. Omer Rav says, Rav, well, that's not much of a proof. I mean, if they said Sof Shechita, I would assume they mean Sof Shechita. Leolam Sof Shechita, now you're asking. I mean, it's unreasonable. You're right. It is unreasonable. But remember that the point of here is a Mesukenet. A misukenet means that we are afraid that it died at one point before I actually was going with the Shechita. Since that's the issue over here, if you cannot show that at the end of the Shechita was giving up the ghost, then you have to be afraid that in the middle of the Shechita was no longer alive. That's the point. Obviously, in a normal animal, you'd say, I understand, how long does it have to live? But there's going to be a process in which it's dying. So, okay, at this point you see it now relaxing its muscles. maybe really at the time of the Shkita Sassimani, it was already dead unless this takes place at the end of Shkita. So Kol, no, it doesn't have that because it's a Misukenis. So Kol She'ino Osak came besov Shkita biyadua shnishmatan etulai men hakodem l'chein. That's our problem. If it can't live that long as a Misukenis, then the assumption is that in fact it had died earlier and this was a slow process. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says you guys are both off. There's no question about it. Because if you consider the Mishnah proves 100% that you cannot be right. Pirkus cannot be at the end of Shkita. Why? Because look what it says in the Mishnah. I say it's got to be B'tchila Shkita. Om Rav Nachman Yitzchak, no, I mean, let it's not. Omar Rabbi Shimon, Hashochet Balayla, somebody shuts at night. Ulamachar Matzak Tolim Leim Dam. The next day he finds the walls, and we'll see what that means, is the walls of the animal's neck. And they're full of blood. That's kosher. How do you know it's kosher? Because it says Daya Im Zinka, and Daya Im Zinka, Libet Rebbe Eliezer, so over here it was obviously Zinka. How else did the blood come out all over the neck? Now, note that Shmuel says, when it says the walls, it's not referring to the walls of the room, it's referring to the walls of the neck. Explain to me, it's dark, you don't know when it was Mizanekis, you're coming back the next morning and you find that it bled. Now, how the heck do you know it didn't bleed at the beginning of the Shkita? There's no way to see when it bled, right? If you're going to tell me that the Zinuk it needs to be at the end of Shkita, then you couldn't possibly know anything by looking at it, because maybe this was at the beginning of Shkita. So clearly the beginning of Shkita is enough of a proof. So what are you guys drinking a cup down? It has to be the middle of Shkita, it has to be the end of Shkita, it has to be anything but the beginning of the Shkita. A simon that happens in the dark, and you come back the next morning, you have no idea when it took place. So it couldn't possibly be a kosher zinuk? Well, how would that be a pure quiz? Wow, that's an incredible... an incredible riot.
You don't know when it took place.
Yeah, but you're going to say like I'm saying, that the Mishnah is only requiring pirchus at the beginning. Fine, so then this makes perfectly good sense. Shaffer, you see, okay, obviously it bled. There's blood all over. How could you use this as a simon? Maybe that happened at the beginning of the Shkita, and then you don't have the pirchus. Says the Gemara, well, maybe that's a unique case. Maybe bleeding indeed is such a powerful sign of chius that even if it takes place at the beginning of Shkita would be enough. Whereas the other things wouldn't. So Dilma Shiny Zinuk da Adiv. Says the Gemara, what do you mean Adiv?
It says Beferish in the Mishnah, it's not Adiv. It says Beferish in the Mishnah
that it's less of a simon than the other pirchus. Well, me Adiv? Look, will you please look at the language. Shatan Reb Eliezer Omer, Daya Im Zinka. That's enough if it was only Mizanekes. So what are you telling me? It's better, it's worse, obviously. Ah, no, not necessarily. It may be indeed less than Rabbi Gamliel. Now remember, Rabbi Gamliel required Yad Viregel. But it may be less than Daya Im Zinka. It may be less than Rabbi Gamliel. I mean, then the Rabbanan. So in other words, it could be a case like this. It's Kal Mi Rabbi Gamliel, so indeed it's Dayim Zika, but it's better, I'll leave it to Rabbanan, to say either Yad or Regel. Well, Zinka is better. So there's Enochinami, Kishkush Yad O Regel, which is what Shmuel was talking about, what Rav was talking about, those cases. That indeed is a Simon only Besok Shita. Zinuk, which is better than that, and one or the other, Zinuk Betchila Shita. Omer Ravina, no way. Actually, Sammy pointed this out to me. Sammy Bar Chilkia, Hakshirba. And he said, he has the kasha. And he quoted Avua the Bar Avuvram, the father of the son of Avuvram. I wonder who that is. Who would the father of the son of Avuvram be? Avuvram. Why would we call it Avua the Bar Avuvram? Because they knew the guy in the yeshiva called Bar Avuvram, but they didn't know his father. They never referred to his father as Avuvram. They only knew the son. But since this had been said by his father, they called him the father of Bar Avuvram. Some say that it was the brother of Bar Avuvram. anyway, that this doesn't make sense. You can't say that Zinuk is better than the Rabbanan's Yad or Regel. Why? Because let's analyze the Mishnah. The Rabbanim Yodim, what's not? V'chachomim omrim, ad shetefarches o biyad o beregel. No, you need to have pirchus either with a yad or a regel. Now, what are the Rabbanim referring to when they say, until it goes that far? What's until it goes that far means? What are they referring to? If they're going back on Rabbi Gamliel requires more than that. He requires yad v'regel. So if they were talking to Rabbi Gamliel, what should they have said? Nah, it's enough, either yad or regel. No. It's got to be arch the parchment. That's ridiculous. So therefore, it should have said, I don't know, kivan shepirchus would be enough. Mi boile is what it should have said. Elapita, they're going back on Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, it's enough, imzinka. Oh, no, said Rabbanan, it's not enough, imzinka. It requires better than that. You need to have kishkush yad or regal. So then that means that even from the Rabbanan, zinka is less. So how are you going to try to tell me that Zinuk is different? Zinuk is so powerful. It's enough at that beginning. If out of all of the cases in the Mishnah, Zinuk is the less of the simanim, both from Rabbi Gamliel and from the Rabbanan, correct? So it's in Daya Im Zinka refers to all of the Shitas. It's not the smallest thing of all. So now you've got a very powerful riot from the Mishnah that if Zinuk is enough at the beginning of Shita, which it must be, otherwise how would I know that the animal is kosher if the blood has dam all over it, the neck has dam all over it? So then obviously all of the Simonim are okay b'tfilat Shita. This seems to be an absolutely ironclad proof. If in fact Pirkus Biyad Oberegel is better than Zinka, then why are they saying is less rather than Zinka? Then why does it say no, they need more than that? Until you have Pirkus.
First of all, there's no hard and fast rule. You see, some of these miles they take 20 minutes, and some of these miles take a tenth of a second. And that's what you're paying for.
So now we seem to have proven 100% that the pirchus can be at the beginning of shkita, that's sufficient. Nonetheless, turns around Rava, and Rava says pirchus shamro has got to be besof shkita. Now, what does Rava do with the riot that we just brought? So, there's a number of different approaches. Tosfos Tanya is that Rava feels that the riot from Zinuk is not a riot for the simple reason that it is not the derech to be misanekes at the beginning of Shkita. The time that Zinuk takes place is always at the end of Shkita. So, Mamela, if you find Kotle Beit HaShkita Malayim Dam, that Zinuk must have taken place at the end of Shvita. And I mean, anybody who's done Shvita sees this all the time. The Zinuk takes place when the Shvita is finished. That's when the animal starts going bananas and groaning and shouting and squirting down all over and so on. So that's one approach. The other approach is that indeed Rav argues on Shmuel. And Shmuel says it means kotle beit hashkita. Rava says, no, it doesn't. It means the kotle habayit. And from the kotle habayit, it's possible to tell in what position the animal was. If it's at the beginning of shkita, then you'll see the blood higher up. But if you see the blood that it squirted down as the animal, as the shkita proceeded, so then you'll know that it took place at the end of shkita. So after a weaker approach. Okay, there are other approaches as well. This is good enough for us. In any event, Rava says, I'll prove to you that the pirchus is besof shkita. It's just the derech when something is all around. You call it kotle. A kotle habayit instead of kotle. Omar Rava mina minala. How can I prove it to you that it has got to be the sof shkita? Tanya, take a look at the brisa that analyzes the pasuk, the very famous Shor Chesav Oheski Balei Shivat Yamim Tiyat Tachat Imo, and so on. So let's darshan Shor O Chesav. What's O Chesav? That comes to tell me it's got to be Davka Chesav. Prat Likil Ayin. If it's not a complete Chesav, in other words, let's say it's a child of a Rachel and a Tayash, of a ewe and a goat, so it's a crossbreed, it's possible. Can't bring that as a carbon. O A's Prat Linidme. You can't bring even a real goat, in other words, a goat that has a father and a mother from a goat, but it doesn't look like a goat. It looks like a sheep. So it's Nidme to something else. Ki Yivaled. When it says Ki Yivaled, we learn out from Bechor that Leda in this sense means Prat Liot Seidofen. It cannot be delivered by Caesarean section. It has to be an actual normal delivery. Shivat Yamim, Prat Mechuser Zman. It can't be less than 7 days old. Tachat Imo, Prat Liatom. It cannot be an orphan. Now, this is very much the Pirates of Penzance. Because what do you mean it cannot be an orphan? And as you're talking about, the animal is now 2 years old to be brought on the Mizbeach, and it says, you cannot bring me, I am an orphan. I mean, what does this mean? How long is he supposed to be an orphan? So what does an orphan mean? This is the Gemara's problem. So hechidami, hayatom hechidami, we say an orphan. What defines an orphan? I mean, ilema. Now, I must give you a little bit of background, and that is that in Mishpatim, it also says, Shivas Yamin Tiye Im Imo. Doesn't say Tachat Imo. Im Imo. Im Imo, we darshan, that it's clearly different than the Tachat, correct? So Tachat means replacement. Im means together. So the fact that it can be a replacement for its mother, Tachat in place of its mother, means that it does not have to have a mother for those 7 days. That's a given. And yet it does have to have had a mother at one point. Because now it says im. So there needed to have been a mother. But the mother is certainly not what's meant to survive for 7 days. Okay. So then what does it mean to have a mother? When you say it cannot be an orphan. What does it mean it cannot be an orphan? See, ilema delita ime vada meta. Do we mean that the mother had this little keves and then died? That's an orphan. So what do you expect? La olam tefifatez. What, is the mother supposed to live forever and ever? I mean, that's normal. A mother dies. So what's the difference? A mother dies a minute later, or a mother dies 2 years later. Eventually, a mother dies. Ella, the meta vahadar yelidate. So what does it mean? That she died first? And then had the child. I mean, it says with Yivaleh, it has to be a normal birth. I mean, this would be included in Yotzei Dofen. We've already had a different pasuk to say that that's not included. Ela Pshita, what does it mean? It means that Zet Piresh Lemita, Vezet Piresh L'Chaim. In other words, the animal, the delivering animal, dies at the moment that the child is born. And that's Tachat. One takes the place of the other. And that's indeed sufficient to be called im imo. Now, I say that if you're going to tell me that the meaning over here, as in the case in which we require chiyut, the requirement for the chiyut is all the way to the end of the leda. That would be why we need a pasuk to tell us that it wouldn't be kosher at all. From the death at the end of Leda. In other words, anything that is before that is considered to be a Yotzei Dofen, and anything after that would be kosher. But if you're going to tell me that the case over here is Yamet Lobi in Achiyut B'Sof Leda, if, however, when the Rabbonan say that you need chiyus, they don't mean you need chiyus all the way till the end of a process, such as over here, all the way to the end of the Shemitah. You need chiyus means that in the course of that process you were alive. Then why do I need a pasuk to tell me Zephirish L'chaim, Zephirish L'misa, if the meaning is that it basically died in mid-birth, then that's included in Kiyavalet, right? So therefore I say, therefore I say that we take for granted that the definition of a process of chiyus is till the end. In which case, the definition of Shaita here is till the end. No, the way to ask the question is the opposite. Maybe the only reason that that's required is because of the pasuk of the tachas. That's what you mean to ask. You're the opposite way to ask it. Okay, that's already a long discussion in the Akronimi. The Chazanish has a long analysis of the sugya. That's a valid question. That was how do we extrapolate from this to a general concept of requiring chiyus at the end of the thing? All right. But let's leave that question out. Omar Rava, Hilchasaki HaMasnisa. Bottom line, you want to know, read the following braisa. That includes all the halachas. Behema daka, shepashta yada velo yichzira. If you have a small animal that simply extends its arm, so that's not enough of a simen, because that can be done in the course of its death. Vamed var mamurim, when do we say this? Dafka, its hand, meaning its foreleg. Avo berega, but if it extends a foot, it wouldn't matter. That would be enough. Bein pashta velo kafafa, bein kafafa velo pashta, jew. Then it would be okay. Vamed var mamurim, furthermore, I want to make it very clear that this is only a small animal, a daka. Avo begasa, if you got a large animal, it wouldn't matter whether it's a foreleg or a hind leg. It wouldn't matter whether it's pashta, and not kapha or kapha of a low pashta. It would all be kosher. And when it comes to a bird, a filu lo refreif ela gabo, some have a lashon of a no. Even if all it did was basically twitch its tail, velo kishkesh ela znavo, or would only move, refreif is even less than kishkesh. That's enough. Micah Mashmal, and what's the chiddush that this price is telling us that a rabbi is trying to point out? Kulo Janani, all of these things were said in the Mishnah itself. Behema Daka, can you read? Daka means Daka velo Gaza, okay? Shepashta Yada, can you read? Yada velo Ragla. I understand anybody who reads the Mishnah understands everything that it said here. So it's telling me that the lawyer's Rapsula. Shainel Tzatznevish, okay? Yad. Not regal. Yad in, regal lo. Behema daka. Daka in, gasa lo. What are you adding? I'm adding the birds. Never talked to you about birds, did I? Did you read anything in the mission about birds? So I'm telling you about an oaf. Oaf it's strikale, the lo tznan. It doesn't say in the mission what the shear is for a bird. And therefore, I'm telling you that low kish kishel as an avav would be sufficient.
The whole
thing
is just because of the
good. That's it. And don't exactly. Thank you. I was about to say that. Just remember that there were many places in Europe where the bird was the most kosher of a thing. You can't get maishver as all as I use them to eat meat. I mean, the Shabbos was for the birds. Zog. Hashochet lo'oved kochavim shechitato kshira v'Rabbi Eliezer posel. Now, what could this be all about? Somebody shefts an animal. Guy walks into a kosher butcher shop, asks a Jew to shef an animal for him. A Jew shefts the animal for him. There's a machlokas of the shechita's kosher. That's pretty amazing. what's the problem? Now, we understand there's a number of different issues over here. It's possible that what we're thinking about is the fact that the goy's kavana for shvita always has some religious element in it. I mean, he's going to be doing this l'shem shemayim, and therefore it's got to have a little bit in it for Yoshka, maybe the blood is Yoshka's blood. Yeah, who knows? So, no, it's the only butcher shop, mate. What is that? That's a problem. But now, even if that's true, isn't there a question over here of who is the determining das in the shita? Is it the owner, or is it the shaykhet? I mean, the pashtas, it would be the shaykhet, which leads us actually to contemplate the dinim of machshava. I mean, where would we look to find the dinim of machshava? To the Beis Hamikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, if a Kohen is shechting something, Lishma, and the Baalim has in mind for Makshavas people, can the Baalim be Mafagal if the Kohen is doing it right? Is there such a thing as a Makshavat Baalim? And if there is, by Kodesh, such a concept, could we extrapolate from Kodesh to say that even in terms of a regular butcher shop, that the Makshava, the owner of an animal, might make a difference? So there's a number of different issues over here that need to be taken into consideration in understanding the Machlokas Hashitas. One is, do we have to assume that a Goy is thinking about Yoshkin? The second is there such a thing as one person doing an act where another person has Machshava in the Beis HaMikdash? The third thing is, and if there is, would such a thing be Nogea secular things, like a normal butcher shop? This Machshava of somebody else? And keeping those things in mind, we can understand the various shitas in the Mishnah. You don't need us. So the Tanakhama says the shvita is perfectly kosher. Rebbe Eliezer says the shvita is possible. Now, l'chora, if it's because of Machshavas Akum, it would have to be more than possible. It would have to be also about Noah. But that you could say is because it's the Tanakhama said kosher. He has to say possible. He's not getting into the details of why it's possible. Omar Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Eliezer says to the Tanakhama, you know, you don't even have to do the whole shvita. All you do is, if the guy went and he buys a nickel worth of meat from an animal that you're going to shach, that already makes the shvita possible, if he orders it in advance. You can make a deal to shach the guy one little part of the diaphragm. Absolutely worthless. A penny's worth of the animal. And nonetheless, it would be possible. You know why? That means there's an element of this carbon that was shechted for purposes of Avodah Zarah. Om Rabbi Yossi, now Rabbi Yossi says, ah, come off it, kavachomer advarim. Uma b'makom shemachshava poselet. Look, if in the primary place where there's a din of zul machshava, which is the Beis HaMikdash, b'mukdashim, in hakol olech ela achar ha'ovei, the only guy that defines what's being thought about is the Kohen, not the owner. So makom she'in machshava poselet normally at all in chulin. Should not the shofet be the one who has the power to determine the purposes of the shvita? So now Rabbi Yossi couldn't just be repeating the Tanakhama, right? No, there seem to be three shitas. It's not clear what are these three shitas: kosher, posel, and kavach homer. It's kosher from the Beis HaMikdash. It's not the derech for somebody else to pop in like that. Now, Hanitanoi, therefore, says the Gemara, the truth is that both opening Tanoim, in other words, the Tanakhama and Rebbe Eliezer, both hold of Rabbi Eliezer Rebbe Yossi. Tanya Omar Rabbi Eliezer Rebbe Yossi, Shamati Shabalim Mefaglim. When it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, I have a Kabbalah that the owner can have in mind a Makshavas Pigul. And then even if the Kohen is doing it right, it's no good. Some have a deal, by the way, that it's dafk if it's a Makshavas Pigul, but if it's a Makshavas Shalo Lishma, if the Kohen has a Makshava Lishma, a Shalo Lishma is a non-Makshava. So that a Lishma takes away whatever, well, you're Shalo Lishma, okay, fine, but I'm doing it Lishma. The question is, Shalol Lishma, is that active, or is the Shalol Lishma taking away the Stama Lishma? That's the Shaila. Okay, because that's a Pigul over here. In any event, both Shitas, this makes it very clear what the Machlokas is with Rabbi Yossi at the end. Because actually, Rabbi Yossi is saying, look, both of you guys are wrong, because you're both making an assumption that there's even a concept of one guy doing an act and another person thinking about it. There's no such concept, even in the Beis HaMikdash. The Tanakhama and also Rabbi Elazar are saying, oh, there is such a concept. But it doesn't apply here, maybe, says the Tanakhama. Why? Well, why is evident. Because Rabbi Eliezer says, it's because every guy is thinking about Avodah Zarah. The Tanakhama says, not true. Why should I assume he's thinking about Avodah Zarah? He's thinking about a good steak. So therefore, They're arguing only about whether stamach shevet loved kochavim is loved kochavim. So therefore, the Tanakhama says like this: look, ishamani the kashav. You hear the guy muttering, "Oh, good Lord, whatever it is," and okay, then you have to be chayes and eat. But he lo. But if he doesn't say anything, then he's dreaming of steak. And we certainly are not going to say stamach shevet loved kochavim lovedot kochavim lo amrina. We're not going to assume that he's so from. Was Rabbi Eliezer says, no, Afagav the Lord Shamina, even though you didn't hear him thinking the Choshib, you have to say that Stamach Shevet Ovid Kochavim Lavodat Kochavim. That we do say, Amrina. Comes along Rabbi Yossi to say, the whole basis of this is wrong. Afagav the Shamina the Choshib. Even if the guy would have said, Beferish, he means this to go to Yoshke Pipik. Zemech Hashem is Elvid Lo Amrin. There's no such thing. The Shochet is the only one who could say what the Shechita is for. Now that's one way of learning the Mishnah. Fits in very nicely. Because Rabbi Eliezer in explaining his sheet that talks about the Machshava of Rabbi Yochavim, and Rabbi Yossi in explaining his talks about Mikdashim and says even the Beis HaMikdash, it's not an issue. So it really makes a lot of sense. There's one other approach that we could also say in the Mishnah. Ikedi Amri. We don't say one person can do the machshava where the other person can do the act of the avodah, even in the Beis HaMikdash.
Impossible.
Whatever
the Beis HaMikdash for the boy is a yudi.
Well, that's what the case is. We sold him even one steak, or even a dot, even a nickel.
Two guys come together.
That's this case. The shochet's Jewish. The guy buys in advance. Says, "I'm buying this steak." Okay, that's enough to pass it. What he said.
Even though
the Yudhi office,
he has his own
machshava
as well.
Right. 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 Now, Ikedi Amri is another approach. That actually, it's talking about a case where we did hear him say it's for Yoshi. Nonetheless, we have a three-way machlokas. Why? The Tanakhama, Afagav the Shamini the Chashiv, even if B'dam Shamini the Chashiv Pligi, the Tanakhama Sava, the Tanakhama says, look, it's true that Habali Mefagli, but how do you extrapolate for the Beit HaMikdash to hear? Tiamina Zemir Chashem Ezel Veid Hanim Yilidim. That's a special halacha in the Beit HaMikdash, which is very sensitive to Machshava. Bachutz, where do you see that you can apply that to the dinim of machshava in a normal butcher shop? You don't say chutz mipnim lo yalfina. We don't learn out from the Beit HaMikdash for butcher shop. Comes along Rebbe Eliezer, and he says, no, yalfina chutz mipnim. If lamaisa the guy was thinking about Yoshka, it's no different than would be says mikdash lavdu, and somebody has a machshava spiegel. Comes along Rebbe Yossi to say, nah. Even in the Beis HaMikdash, you don't have such a concept. There's no such thing.